Welcome to the Fearless Future Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine McCourt, transformational life and business coach. Today, I'm speaking with Carolina Gutierrez, who is a serial entrepreneur that runs three businesses and started her first when she was only 12 years old. As a mental wellness advocate to business owners, she was diagnosed ADHD in her 30s and has since used her past difficulties to fuel her current business endeavors around the purpose of prioritizing mental wellness in business. Having turned her struggle into a passion, she is on a mission to highlight the realities of entrepreneurship on our mental health by helping dispel stigma surrounding neurodiversity and empowering business owners to embrace their difference and find their superpower. Welcome to the show, Carolina. It's such a pleasure to have you on today. Everything that you do aligns with the work that I do. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. It is something that is not talked about enough. It's not addressed enough. People don't know how to reach out for help. When they're an entrepreneur, they feel they have to have all the answers. So I'm happy that you are here to help dissect all this and bring some enlightenment to the conversation.
Thanks for having me, Catherine. I'm excited to see where this goes.
First of all, when I hear serial entrepreneur, that usually means that people have created many opportunities in their life from business aspect or career aspect. So can you share with us what it is that serial entrepreneur means to you?
I think serial entrepreneurs really, I think the word encompasses that creative force that burns in your belly 24/7 and that you have nothing else to do with it except to create with it. I would say that it's a feeling and it's a purpose much greater than you. And it's something that comes very naturally. You know, it's in the shower and it's over dinner and it's on the drive to your doctor's appointment. It's something that's constantly flowing.
Yeah. So can you describe for us when you sort of attuned to that or fell in tune with realizing that this was part of who you are? Because a lot of my business in coaching is about helping people find their authentic self and help them to tap into intuition and be able to really create a life or a business and career or encompass it all holistically into one great, beautiful package for them to be able to create and build what it is that they really envision without being pulled in different directions by society or other type pressures.
So I love the fact that you threw intuition in there, because I would definitely say that that's been the driving force in my life, regardless of what direction it takes me. But, you know, when did I finally realize that I was a serial entrepreneur and fully embrace this? I would say I'd be well into my 30s before that happened. When I look back, when it first showed up in my life, me not realizing what was going on, I was 12 years old. So I think that that realization comes with wisdom and age and life experience and, you know, the beauty of and heartache that life can sometimes create in order for us to really open our eyes and say, hey, this is who I am and this is where I'm meant to be.
Mm-hmm. So what were you doing at the time that this was happening in your 30s? What were you doing? Were you working in a traditional corporate job or what did that look like?
No. So for me, I had just my first business, my first official, like where I paid taxes for the business and, you know, had a business plan type of thing, had gone bankrupt. I was a hypnotherapist and I worked with car accident victims and I dealt with 8 to 10 new clients a month. And there was a legislation change here in the province. I'm in Ontario, Canada. And I went from, again, 8 to 10 new clients a month to 4 in a year. And I had not prepared my business for what was coming. I didn't really realize the impact of it. And so I had gone back to school to get my master's in social work so that I could be covered by extended healthcare coverage and really kind of delve deeper into the counseling practice that I had started. And I needed income in the meantime. And I wasn't going to go back to a traditional job. I'm like, well, you know, I've created a network here. Let's see what I can leverage. Technology has always been very easy for me. And I was already getting requests for help from colleagues. And I said, okay, well, let's see if I can turn this into a business while I'm going back to school. And, you know, that business grew from there. So I'd love to give this like story of I knew what was coming and it was all coordinated and pretty, and it absolutely was not. It was messy. I was bloody. I felt defeated. But in all of that, my intuition was always there. And intuition for me is such an important and intrinsic part of who I am and how my life journey has developed. And it is what has guided me through these very difficult times and has also been my inspiration for creating the life that I've created now and the multiple businesses that I run and in the way that I choose to do business, period. Not only do I live my life by it, but I want to make a living by having that guidance always there and be present and to be very forthcoming with the people that I work with, that that's there, and wanting the people that I work with to value that and that be a guiding force in their life as well.
And I think that's part of the struggle with a lot of individuals who want to venture out and do something on their own or something that they know intrinsically is what fuels them in their day. But then there's bills to be paid. There's responsibilities to take care of. You know, it's one of the biggest obstacles I feel is that when people start tapping into their intuition and they start feeling like they know what they want to do, they absolutely feel like this is the path they want to be on. But all those other things, like you said, they just
are still there.
Yeah. And they don't go away. And a lot of times working with clients, it's about getting them to recognize that, well, if you have to pay your bills, which all of us do, then sometimes you have to take that step to do that, but you never give up on the dream or that vision. So what would you say for someone who might be in that state? Now you've lived through it. You've, you know, like you said, I love that you say that, hey, it was messy. It wasn't all wrapped up in a pretty package and it didn't come with ease. What advice would you give people who are in that state right now, wondering like, do I keep forging forward with this or do I just go back to the traditional ways?
That's a loaded question because I think that there's many aspects to look at there. But with the wisdom of being on this side of it now, there's a few things that I would say. Number one, it's something I call business enlightened. And it means that you don't get rid of the traditional wisdom of business and profits and a business plan and marketing and all of the traditional components that the way that business has been run for so long consists of. But, and this is a big but, that's not what you lead with. You lead with intuition. You let that be the guiding step. You let that inform this traditional wisdom of, you know, kind of what might be considered the old way of doing business, right? So it's really a matter of marrying the two and not living in one space or the other, because our world is not made up of just this black and white, yes and no type of way of looking at things. So it's really kind of discerning and making sure that you're approaching it always from a holistic perspective, number one. I think number two, and I teach intuition in one of my businesses, so this is a very near and dear to me question. Number two is understanding that your intuition is there, but our life experiences sometimes create filters, traumas, and static that can hold us back from being able to follow our intuition in certain areas of our life. The example that I always give is I was raised by a single mom. So I'm not a single mom, but I very much am very compassionate to the plight of single parents and the difficulty that that is. So when it comes to decisions surrounding single moms in my life, I tend to not have a very clear compass because my compassion and the love of my own mother and what I saw her go through is very much at the forefront of that decision. So pretty much I could say, I want this. Yeah, sure, done, no problem. Like there's never going to be any discernment. There's never going to be any appropriate filter because my filter is already skewed. Mm-hmm. So the more aware you are of where your filter skewed, where you need to do some work, right? Doing that work of introspection and really honing in on not only who you are, but what you've been through and what you're still kind of going through. That's very, very important because you then start to say, okay, can I trust my intuition in this area or not? And just because you can't trust it in one area doesn't mean you can't trust it as a whole. But right. you just have to be very aware of that so that, because the reality is chances are you're not going to like what your intuition has to say all the time because you're
right.
Right. Yes. It's not always pretty or what we want to do or, you know, feel that it's the right thing at the time. Right. But that's the thing about intuition. It's about faith and trusting, even when yes. you don't have all the moving parts in front of you.
Yes. So you talk about in your journey, you are someone who has ADHD. You are someone who has honed into that in a way that helps you continue to create effectively, efficiently. Talk to us a little bit about what that has meant for you, recognizing that this is something that you were faced with or going through, and how did you start utilizing it in a real productive and creative way?
So I wasn't diagnosed ADHD until I went back to school. So I was in my early 30s. I had lived quite a long time in the orbit of chaos that I call of what ADHD can bring when you don't understand it. I don't look at it like that now, but at the time I had no understanding of what was going on. And so when I got diagnosed going back to school, you know, I was livid for the first 3 months. I was just like looking back at my life and thinking all these missed opportunities, if I only would have known, you know, all that stuff. And then I just, you know, I have the attitude of like, I give myself permission to feel down for a little bit, but then it's like, nope, you just can't stay in that. You got to snap out of it. And then I started, you know, I was doing this business. I was still going to school. And I started really recognizing I can't be the only one that has this. And I can't be the only one that doesn't know that they didn't have it for so long. And I really started taking what was taught to me during my diagnosis and how and technology incorporated into that, that really started becoming part of organically the business that I have of technology improvement and process improvement for small businesses. It wasn't that at the time. I was just doing basic kind of admin, setting up people's computers, things of that nature. But as my program continued, I fell out of love with my program, but I fell deeper in love with the business that I was building. And it just organically really started taking on that. And, you know, as I continued in business, I started to think and really analyze, you know, the counselor never goes away, even though I was not in counseling. That lens is always there. And I was seeing all of these people that I was helping. And I'm like, this orbit of chaos exists in these people as well, maybe differently, but it, you know, it's not the pretty back end that everyone thinks that businesses have it together and they know everything and, you know, kind of moving forward. And so I really started to say, what's going on here? Like, I can't be the only one noticing it. And when I started really looking into it, you know, the statistics are mind-boggling. 72% of entrepreneurs suffer from a type of mental illness, whether diagnosed or undiagnosed, right? They tend to be, it's something that whether they realize that's what pushes them into business or not, it really is lingering there in the background. And whether it's mental illness, whether you look at it as mental illness or you look at it as neurodiversity is, I believe the statistic is it's over 50% of entrepreneurs have some type of neurodiversity. So whether you're looking at ADHD, autism, whatever that looks like, that's there. And, you know, the reality is that when you look at life this way, because I don't look at it as a condition. I just look at it as I look at and process life maybe a little bit differently than the regular population. Mm-hmm. You don't fit into those traditional structures. And so not fitting into the corporate world or the traditional structures or schooling for that matter. Yeah, exactly. It pushes you to constantly be thinking out of the box and looking at things that people don't notice and really creating your own world. And I think entrepreneurship, when you look at it, that's very, very prevalent. You know, I say that entrepreneurs have this ability to consider themselves almost oracles in that this is what's going to happen. I'm convinced that this is what, and the world can be against you and say, you're out to lunch. that's impossible, no way. But there is that intuition is so strong because they've had to rely on it so much because they're always going against the grain that,
yes,
it, you know, that plays that role. So, you know, it's been a beautiful, messy and tangled journey that has brought me to that realization that, you know, life in general and business in general requires that balance of these two forces, or maybe even more than two, but of balancing mm-hmm. that in your life.
So speaking of your business, it's IT and technology, and you help small business owners build IT and technology within their business, or you mentioned early on, you were just sort of setting things up for them, but now you've mm-hmm. obviously expanded your business. Talk to us a bit about what that looks like.
Sure. So one of my businesses is called Business in Order. And the tagline is, we help you find peace, time, and profits through organizing your business backend. And it's leveraging technology in a way that works for you. So a lot of times when people try and get organized, they're like, oh, this is the perfect system. Or when you go to a coach, they're like, use this model. And it's like, well, that might not be the ideal one for you. Just because it worked for this person doesn't mean it works for you.
Yes.
So it's really understanding what your priorities are, what you're comfortable with, because, you know, I love technology. So I can, you know, apps don't scare me. But if you're somebody that apps are kind of like, I don't know if I want to use this a lot, then that's not the solution for you, right? The app might
right.
be the solution for you. So it's really getting to know what the client's needs are, what they're comfortable with, and where they want to go with that, and then finding solutions and systems that work to that so that we can really leverage the predictable and so that you're present for those one-offs or those unique situations where really you want to focus your energy on instead of the kind of the bread and butter everyday stuff that we might be able to automate.
Okay. Who would be your ideal client? So do you notice that, like, do you have a niche? So a type of industry that you work with or type of entrepreneurs that you work with? What does your ideal client look like?
Sure. So they're usually in the service-based businesses.
Okay.
I really like people that are purpose-driven and that feel that they want to make a change in the world with the work that they do. But the reality is it's professional services in the service-based space. We have solutions for the solopreneur all the way up to 50 employees. I've also developed what's called the Organized Business Bootcamp, and it's a self-study program for those people that might not be able to afford that one-on-one implementation and kind of discovery process that we do. But it takes the tips and tricks of running this business for the last 10 years and the common pitfalls that I see in a lot of businesses. And we've wrapped that up into a self-study course that makes it affordable and, you know, reachable for that new owner.
Nice. And what would you say are kind of the key things that most of these service-based businesses require? So from your standpoint, what would be the three things that you see are most common that you're integrating with them or implementing?
So, yeah, the first thing, and I don't even care if you're in the service space, everybody, like,
okay,
this is the one blanket statement, and I'm not one to usually give blanket statements, but this is okay. the one piece of advice that I can give every single person out there, and it's a password manager. Because you know, they're constantly needing to be changed. We're always trying to think of, like, my dog when I was seven mixed with my children and my birth. Like, it's just, it's impossible to keep up with what technology is requiring of you and how frequently we're needing them and the security behind it. You want to make sure. So a password manager is just a no-brainer for everyone. There are some free versions, but even the paid versions are very affordable. So you're looking at maybe $50 a year. And it's something that can really be a game changer, because you think the amount of businesses that I go into that have an Excel spreadsheet called passwords sitting on the desktop, God. And it's all the same. It's like variations of the same password, right? Like, it's a security nightmare.
Yes.
And it's one install that you put in your browser. I use LastPass. I'm a big fan of theirs. I have it on my phone as well. I have the paid version. And one install, it's an initial curve, slightly a few days of you creating your passwords. And then from there on, you never have to create another password again. So that tiny time that you take constantly starts to add up, right? Mm. It starts to take away from really living the way that you want to live in your life. So maybe you want to dedicate more time to your business instead of searching for a passport.
Right.
Or you want to spend it with family, or you want to go on that hike every morning. Like, all of that adds up. And so a password manager just seems kind of the basic bare bones. Everybody needs to do that one for sure. The other one that I would say is, as a business, you want to look at managing your leads. So some type of CRM, even if it's a basic one. I'm always hesitant when I tell people it's free, because in technology, free is never free, right? You're giving up something for that, right? Whether it's your information, whether it's your contact details, but, you know, it's better than having nothing. And an Excel spreadsheet is great if you're maybe in your first year, but after your first year, you need to get away. Because that Excel spreadsheet is not going to remind you that you haven't called Bob in 3 months after you promised him to call him in 3 weeks, right?
Right.
That's going to rely so much, so much on you. And then I would say the third thing would be some type of list manager. On the more seasoned end, it might look like a PM tool, project management tool, but something where you can dump your information, what's going on in your head. As an entrepreneur, you're constantly have those thoughts bubbling, right? It's just a nonstop thing. So if you don't put that down somewhere, all that beauty, all that magic that's possible in those thoughts just disappears into the ether. And so it's really having a system of, where are you going to dump them? Even if you're not addressing them now, where are they going to live? And the caveat to that one is a two-step process. Don't try and organize your list while you're making it, because it uses two different parts of your mind. So you want to just dump the list first, as random as weird, even if it's like stuff to do with your kids, stuff to do with your home, just dump it in. Once you're done, once you can feel your brain breathe a bit and there's no more, nothing else is kind of popping out, then you pivot and you look at it and you say, okay, where's the home list in this? Where's the business stuff? Where's the client stuff? And then go from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And what, so we talked about this wellness component, and clearly this comes from your background being a hypnotherapist. What are some of the things that you now currently do or offer the entrepreneurs or small businesses that you work with from a wellness perspective?
Sure. So I've developed a program that I'm trying to sell into incubators, boards of trade, entrepreneur centers. It's called Soul Circles, and it's all about focusing on finding mental wellness for founders and entrepreneurs. I controversially, just to kind of grab people's attention, I say, business is bad for you. If you look at it from from the statistics, business is bad for your mental health and your physical health and just your emotional well-being, right? That being said, I don't think I'll ever not have a business that I'm running, right? So how do we balance that? How do we, you know, navigate this addiction to business while still taking care of ourselves? You know, because suicide rates are just so much higher in the entrepreneurial space. And really, that's what started it. So for me, years ago, like I said, when I started, the counselor was always watching these people. And I was like, how's there not a support system for this? Like, you know, and we're starting to talk about it more in the corporate space and in the personal space, but these people are so much more susceptible. The loneliness of entrepreneurship, no one talks about that, right?
Yeah.
You know, I used to arrange doing one chore every afternoon when I first started, whether it was picking up dry cleaning, because I needed some type of personal interaction, because the loneliness was really a lot, right? And and so, you know, and the suicide rate, entrepreneurs are 4 times more likely to take their own life than the general population. So going back to what I was saying, I was thinking about this. I'm like, why isn't this here? And then COVID hit. And it really was, you know, kind of marinating, and just my intuition was kicking in stronger and stronger. And my husband was working for a startup based out of California, and the founder took his own life when I was 80% finishing my program. So I was 80% done, and I was kind of holding back, and I was like, it's not perfect. And I was just like, could this have made a difference? right? Mm-hmm. And so that really was the impetus to really push this forward and really start to talk about it and really kind of bring it to market, because it really is something that I think no one is talking about enough. My Soul Circles program models after kind of like AA. So okay. it is a peer support group, because entrepreneurs, you know, if somebody in a talking head in a chair says, you should take care of yourself, we're like, you've never been bankrupt. You've never wondered where your next mortgage payment is going to come from. You haven't mm-hmm. been, you know, looking at all the stressors in your family saying, we never see you. You don't know what that means. So I'm not going to take what you say seriously. But when another entrepreneur that knows what those struggles are, yes. you're hearing your story come out of their mouth, that hits and lands differently.
Yes.
And so it's a structured 12-week, 26-hour program that I've developed all about the perils or the benefits of running your business. Mm-hmm. But we don't talk about business, but it makes you a better business owner.
Yeah, that sounds beautiful. I will definitely check that out. I think there are so many industries that, I mean, I say industry, but just to give some segmentation, but I think that type of work is needed. We often forget, we think, well, if this person has achieved XYZ and they're sitting at that higher level, whether it's an entrepreneur or someone who's become a C-level of an organization, that, oh, well, they must have all their pieces together. You know, they got there somehow. They must be dealing with things well. But the truth is that a lot of them are actually the ones that truly, truly need some form of support, yep. some form of normalcy almost, right? Like finding other like-minded people or people that are going through the same thing versus the people that maybe that they're hanging out with during the day, whether in business or their personal life, that don't fully understand it. You know, it brings up something that I often think of when I see these, and this is a little bit off topic, but when I see these young, you know, children stars or children celebrities,
yeah.
and the majority of them, I say the majority, this is probably incorrect to say, but
many
they
of
end
them.
Up with mental illness. Yeah. yeah. And whether that was something they had when they were young, there's a lot that probably didn't. And it was the trajectory of their life and things that had happened that brought this mental illness onto them, whether it's depression or anxiety, all yeah. those things. And I always thought and said to my friends, you know, there needs to be some people to take responsibility, like psychotherapists or psychoanalysts or psychologists, therapists, who should really start building programs for child stars. And it should almost be a mandate in the industry that any child star or any child that is on that trajectory of becoming a celebrity should have that wellness and
yeah.
therapeutic help along their journey
yeah,
in
yeah.
order to help them or to help mitigate what we've seen so often. It's like a repeat story, you know, when yeah. you hear these people. Justin Bieber was a great, I guess I want to say advocate, but he was a great example of that. This kid yeah. at 16 found celebrity or became a celebrity, and, you know, all the mental illness that he had to work through over the years, no one really knew about yeah. until he was able to speak about it.
And it's a great parallel, I think, because as entrepreneurs get more successful, the stress just compounds and it exponentially grows, right? It's different stress,
yes.
right? It
yes.
might not be you're struggling to pay the bills, but it's stress nonetheless, right? And there isn't a lot of people that you can share with, because you're not going to talk to your employees about,
mm-hmm.
I'm worried that I won't make payroll this week, or, you know,
yes.
the lawsuit or yes. whatever that looks like, right? And so it's interesting that you say about the mandate, because the way I want to sell my program is tie it to the funds that the venture capital firms give. Now, venture capital firms usually require that their, the good ones anyways, require that their founders and the C-suite team that surrounds the founders are in therapy. But there's a but there. There's an Australian study in 2019 that said that individuals that took their own life, 60% that were in regular ongoing counseling reported not having suicidal ideations to their counselors weeks before they took their own life. So the counseling component, I believe in it. Please don't get me wrong. It's important, but it's not enough. There needs to be something else, right? And so that's where I really firmly believe that peer support can make a difference, right?
Because yes.
You're seeing other people living your reality and you know, I'm not alone. I'm not making this up. This is hard. And maybe I have someone else to reach out to.
Yes. Yeah. So in the wellness program that you offer, is it something that the company signs up to and the individuals work on their own? Like, what's the process for the small business owners to get involved in that?
So I'm actually this year, I think I'm going to be attempting to launch it where it's individual business owners. But the way it works, the way it works is it's either I'm still working with the model. We're either doing weekly or monthly sessions. I wanted to do it weekly, but the reality is, as a small business owner, it's very difficult. As a coach, you probably see that. It's very difficult to get them out and attending that on a regular basis.
Yes.
The model is that you're there with a group of 12 to 15 max, no more than 15. You have a facilitator who is also a small business owner themselves. And you have certain kind of cues or guidelines regarding the topics of the week. So one of them might be the need for resiliency, how you handle uncertainty, the co-conditions and co-realities that you face as an entrepreneur, the isolation and loneliness and on. So each week or each session, you're tackling a new, very appropriate topic for entrepreneurship. So one builds upon the other as you're developing these coping mechanisms. And if you don't have coping mechanisms, fine. If no one does the homework when they go home, no problem. But you've had an opportunity to let that steam, let that pressure that's been building over so much time, you release it, even if it's just for 2 hours, once a week or once a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How would you describe, Carolina, your purpose in all this? What is your mission with the businesses that you have? You know, taking yourself from a technology expert and helping these small business owners, but also having the responsibility of wanting to create a community of wellness for these entrepreneurs. So what is the purpose behind that and the real mission for you? What do you hope to achieve?
Well, I consider myself a bit of a business unicorn because I speak feelings and business fluently.
Yes.
Right. And that's, you know, if you want to see a room of uncomfortable entrepreneurs, talk about your feelings. Right.
And yes. So, oh my God. Yes. Yes.
It's an interesting combination. But the way I look at it is my purpose has always been, I've always been a natural helper. Wherever it is that I go, that's just innate in who I am. And it has been since I can remember. And so really what I want to do is I want to prioritize mental wellness in the entrepreneurial space, whatever that looks like, right? When we're looking at technology, I'm not looking at the best technology solution. I'm looking at what's going to bring you the peace of mind. I think that we as a population, not only in business, but in life, do not value peace enough. Mm-hmm. And after hitting 40, I just realized that that's where I want to be. I just want peace, right? Whatever that looks like for you. And my goal is in every endeavor that I do, in every life that I touch, and every person that I have the honor of working with, is that we're able to bring more peace into their life.
I love that. Beautiful. Is there anything that we didn't touch on today, Carolina, that you were hoping to share with the audience on this podcast today?
No, I think this is great. I love the way the conversation has gone. So, Catherine, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share some of this with your listeners. And if there's one person out there that can get some benefit and say, hey, you know what, this is hard and maybe I need some help. And whoever it is that you go get help from, there's tons of people. There's tons of way to get help. Just get the help.
Yes. Yeah, my pleasure. I'm sitting here and I'm feeling the synergy with you in terms of the work that I do and the work that you do. And, you know, maybe you and I should continue to.
Yeah, let's talk and
see what could, you never know, percolate.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Yeah, it's been such a great chat with you, Carolina. I really love the work that you're doing, and it really speaks to me and the mission that I'm on as well. And I love hearing more and more people getting engaged with this, meaning that uncomfortable conversation from a business standpoint and bringing it to a human place. So thank you so much for being a great guest today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in. New episodes drop each week, and I'd love your support on this mission to intrigue and help others bound fearlessly into their future. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and share a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. Fearless Future Podcast is made possible by platforms such as Buzzsprout and Riverside FM. If you're interested in starting your own podcast, Buzzsprout is a great place to start to host, promote, and begin tracking your podcast. They have a 360-degree service and a ton of videos to help you get set up, choose the right equipment, and how to monetize your podcast. Their customer service is the quickest and most reliable to keep you growing and never stall your creative output. It's a super easy platform to use and connect your podcast to all major platforms for listeners to find you. So ready to launch your podcast? Go ahead and use the Buzzsprout link that I put in the show notes and receive a $20 Amazon gift card after your second paid invoice. Riverside FM is my studio platform that allows me to schedule and invite guests into a professional and interactive studio. You can have one or multiple guests, and it records separate tracks for ease in editing and creating clips. It's an intuitive platform that makes your videos look great and improves any sound quality, including sound effects. Follow the links in the show notes to review if these platforms can work for you. Want a secret for editing? Check out the Descript link that I put in the show notes. This is the easiest platform I've ever used to edit podcasts or any type of audio or video. So yes, you can upload video. You can get the transcript. And all you have to do is edit the transcript and you're done. Super easy. Check it out. All the best on your journey and have a fantastic week. Fearless Future Podcast is made possible by platforms such as Buzzsprout and Riverside FM. If you're interested in starting your own podcast, Buzzsprout is a great place to start to host, promote, and begin tracking your podcast. They have a 360-degree service and a ton of videos to help you get set up, choose the right equipment, and how to monetize your podcast. Their customer service is the quickest and most reliable to keep you growing and never stall your creative output. It's a super easy platform to use and connect your podcast to all major platforms for listeners to find you. So ready to launch your podcast? Go ahead and use the Buzzsprout link that I put in the show notes and receive a $20 Amazon gift card after your second paid invoice. Riverside FM is my studio platform that allows me to schedule and invite guests into a professional and interactive studio. You can have one or multiple guests, and it records separate tracks for ease in editing and creating clips. It's an intuitive platform that makes your videos look great and improves any sound quality, including sound effects. Follow the links in the show notes to review if these platforms can work for you. Want a secret for editing? Check out the Descript link that I put in the show notes. This is the easiest platform I've ever used to edit podcasts or any type of audio or video. So yes, you can upload video. You can get the transcript. And all you have to do is edit the transcript and you're done. Super easy. Check it out. All the best on your journey and have a fantastic week.